Hi, friends. Welcome to Sips of Sunshine, the podcast hosted by Amy Ogden. Sips of Sunshine is a place to share inspiration, positivity, and fresh ways of thinking. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy today's episode, please share this sip of sunshine with someone you love. And now, on to today's podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Sips of Sunshine, the podcast. This is Amy. Thanks for tuning in today. I just love having you all listen. So I wanted to express my gratitude for your time. And so I'm really excited about today's topic. I when I started Sips of Sunshine, the blog, and now the podcast, I really had one like core mission, which was to just sort of get a little vulnerable and pretty authentic and share things that like I've learned along the way. I always say like it's sort of my way to pay it forward. I'm not a mom. I'm not raising kids. I'm not working, you know, I'm not like building wells in, you know, third world countries. Sometimes I feel like, you know, trying to figure out what your mission in life is can feel a little overwhelming. And at some point about a year ago, I really realized that my mission, I think, is to share and to be a sounding board and maybe a little bit of a guidepost for others, and just share what I've been through and maybe help with some life advice. And so today's topic is one, I wrote a blog post about this, and it's one that's really, really, I mean, I don't even know. It's like a thread that started young in my life. I'm still dealing with it today. Like if you were to say, you know, what is one thing you just are fighting daily? It's this. And it's perfectionism. And it's not perfectionism in a great way. It's perfectionism in an overexpressed, unhealthy way. The blog post I wrote, the title of it is Perfection is Just Fear in Good Shoes. I didn't make up this title. I stole it from Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. But when I was, I think I was listening to a podcast that she was on, and she said this, perfectionism is just fear in good shoes. In other words, it's fear. It just looks a little better. Or maybe you think it's a little fancier. It's like fancy fear. And I'm not making this up, you guys. I was listening to it in bed. I listen to a lot of podcasts in bed as I'm going to sleep. And I sat up and I immediately typed it into my phone as a blog post topic and something just to sort of meditate on. I'd never thought of my perfectionism as fear. I'd thought of it as just I like things the way I like them, or, you know, I have a certain way I do things. And so I really started to think back on the perfectionism in my life and kind of where it started, because I know I wasn't born this way. I was that little girl with like scabbed up knees and dirt under her fingernails and, you know, mismatched socks. I mean, I was a kid. I was like a kid with her hands in the dirt, riding my bike through the woods around our neighborhood with my friends. Like I was dirty in the best way, like in the way the kids should be, you know, climbing trees and skinning my knees. And so I was really like, okay, I didn't start out this way. So how did it happen? And I started to think back, and like high school is where I felt like it really became amplified. I actually remember I was the captain of the cheer squad, and I remember, I mean, God bless the girls who cheered with me, because I was specific. It was like, you know, the uniforms had to look a certain way, and you had to buy these exact right hose, pantyhose at the time, and I would ask everyone to wash their shoes before the games because we wore white sneakers and I wanted them to be like bright white every time, you know, and I would like wash my shoes with a toothbrush. And I just look back at that and I was like, what was I doing? And that's just one example, you know, and I was thinking back on this like quest for perfection and when it started, and I think I nailed it. For me, it was around age 14. there was this really interesting time in my life that only like my really close friends know about. But basically in like junior high, I was everything you don't want to be in junior high. I was overweight. I had glasses. I had braces. I had acne. I wasn't popular. I had like one friend. It was really, really a hard, hard time for me. I was completely outcast. And this was the time when like girls were becoming pretty, you know, they were becoming cheerleaders, and I went to kind of a big junior high. So there was a lot of that. And I just remember how painful junior high was. And then in between eighth and ninth grade, so in between junior high and high school, I moved from the big city where my junior high was to a small town called Rainier. And it was truly one of those like if it had been like an after school movie, you know, I would have gotten like a makeover and suddenly gone from like a hard 4 to a 7. Like I got contacts, so the glasses came off and the braces came off, and I had great teeth and I grew a few inches, so the baby weight just sort of melted off, and like I got a fresh haircut. And I mean, truly, it was insane how kind of overnight all of the awkwardness and all of the pain and suffering of junior high was left behind. And I changed schools, so no one at my new school knew anything other than I was just this like nice, normal, cute girl who started ninth grade. And I was so scared I would screw it up. I was so scared that if I wasn't as perfect as I could be in high school, that like, you know, I don't know, the jig would be up and people would realize that I was really this like overweight, unpopular, nerdy girl who shouldn't have friends. And so I didn't give myself any room for error. I had to dress right and act right and do all the right things. And it was a lot of pressure. I worked 2, sometimes 3 jobs to make money. My dad, you know, he had high expectations of me, and so I worked really hard as well. I just wanted so much approval, and it was fear. It was all based on fear of not having friends, fear of not having the approval of my parents or my teachers, fear of not being popular. It was really fear. And it expressed itself as perfectionism, but that wasn't what it was at all. And then I moved into my 20s and I moved to Florida, and that fear followed me. And I had this job in my 20s where I was so scared of, I don't even know, losing the job or not being the best at the job, that again, that perfectionism showed up. I was there early. I stayed late. My attention to detail was unmatched. You guys, I was making $30,000 a year buying $250 suits from Ann Taylor so that I would look the part. I mean, and again, like you would look at that and be like, oh, this is perfectionism, but it was just plain fear. And it's continued to today, not in the extremes at all, but it's almost like a, I don't know what you call it. It's like it's such a part of me that sometimes I'll feel it come out and I'll be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like that's your perfectionism fear thing rising up. And that could be anything from something I do or say at work to my home. Even sometimes like my home, when I really clean it, I look at it and I'm like, it doesn't even look like anyone lives here. It looks like a catalog. Like, that's not healthy. You should have like a pile of mail or something. And so it's something I really deal with every day. And what I have to keep reminding myself is this isn't about perfectionism. This is about fear. So what are you scared of? And as soon as I ask myself that, what are you scared of? That usually, I don't know, it just sort of demystifies this perfectionism. And, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm going to stop cleaning my house or caring about my work or my appearance, but reminding myself that the people who matter won't reject me if I'm not perfect. That's what this is all about, that I'm not going to lose the love or approval or friendship of the people who really matter if I'm not perfect. And in fact, constant perfection feels really sanitized and annoying. And if anything, I almost think there's more love to be had by not being so perfect. I have a couple of friends who every time I go to their house, their houses are absolutely pristine. You know, the bed is made amazingly with like 12 pillows and, you know, nothing out of place and a cheese plate ready on the counter and everything. And I've always thought, wow, their homes are always so perfect. And then there have been two instances, one with each, where I ended up at their house unexpectedly. And guess what? Like the bed wasn't made and the pillows on the couch were a mess and there was mail on the table. And honestly, I loved them more. So anyway, I think seeing that, being like, okay, people who love you, not because, you know, your nails are always perfectly manicured or you don't have a hair out of place or you've got that report done exactly on time and within budget and didn't miss a number or whatever. But I think also, you know, this isn't just about perfection. That's what I'm using because that's for sure like my drug of choice. But this is about overexpressing a part of yourself out of fear of rejection. And so if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I'm not a perfectionist, you know, I don't, you know, no one would ever accuse me of that. Totally. Like, I think perfection is just one way people express fear. But there are other ways that, you know, that you maybe do something in your life, not because you genuinely want to, but because you're afraid you'll be rejected if you don't. So maybe you drink too much because you're afraid you'll be rejected by your friends if you can't hang. Or maybe you dress your kids in clothes you can't afford because you're afraid you'll be rejected by the other moms if you don't keep up appearances. Or maybe you wear a full face of makeup to the gym at 7 in the morning because you're afraid you'll be rejected for not looking absolutely perfect out in public all the time. This fear, this fancy fear, can show up in a lot of different ways. And ultimately, so often, it's just fear of rejection. And I feel like we've all got to let that go. I've never once rejected one of my friends for not drinking or not looking amazing or not having all the right answers all the time. So let's all agree together to do a gut check. And when we do something that feels a little bit inauthentic, just ask ourselves why we're doing it. I call this like the why behind the what. Like, why are you doing this thing that you're doing? And like most things in life, it's not about one big sea change. You know, I'm dealing with this perfectionism, this fancy fear every day. But it's more like tiny edits along the way that really lead to a more aligned way of living and an authenticity that I know I'm looking for. I always want to be becoming more and more authentic because this sanitized, over-perfected persona is not who I really am. And, you know, there's a time to turn it on and there's a time to turn it off. And look, do anything you want, like, but just do it because you really want to. Like, dude, if you want to wash your shoes with a toothbrush, wash your shoes with a toothbrush, but don't do it because you're afraid you'll be rejected if you don't. Because the people who matter in your life will love the real you. And with that, I love you too. And I love you for listening. If you have any feedback on this podcast, you know I'd love to hear it. The email is Amy, A-M-Y, at sipsofsunshine.com. And as always, your life is meaningful, and I appreciate every second we have together. And I can't wait to talk to you soon. Have a good day. Bye.
You've just listened to the Sips of Sunshine podcast with your host, Amy Ogden. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Google Play, and be sure to visit sipsofsunshine.com for more inspiration. See you at the next episode.